Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing's Bad Santa, the Cascadian Dark Ale that brings holiday cheer to your glass. Get on the naughty list with Bad Santa.
Ho, ho, ho.
All right, Daily Ticker time to kick off hour number three. Brought to you, as always, by Pelican Brewing. Warm up with bold flavor and get into the holiday spirit. Enjoy by the fire or maybe even under the mistletoe. Their Bad Santa Cascadian Dark Ale is back. And we are thrilled, pumped, excited, whatever adjective you would like to use, whatever descriptor you would choose, to talk to our next friend, the Commissioner of College Football, Josh Pate, at Josh Pate CFB on Twitter. Go give him a follow. His show every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, live on YouTube. Check the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you subscribe. He just crossed over 500,000
congratulations,
subscribers,
man.
Live on the show. The ticker idea was phenomenal, watching the numbers count up throughout the show. And, man, our guy's been everywhere. He's on Get Up on Friday. He's on an alt cast of the SEC title game on Saturday.
Nobody more proud than Trisha Pate.
She's all about it. She's thrilled for her son. Josh Pate, we are excited to yell about college football with you. Are you excited to yell about the rankings? And how in the world did the committee do this with Notre Dame and Miami?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was told by Jason that we were just going to mainly break down James Madison depth chart today. Are we not doing that?
How do you feel about the two deep at linebacker for James Madison? Is that something Dan Lanning should be concerned about?
Real heady, plucky, gritty, blue-collar kid. And I don't even know which one we're talking about, but yes, just copy-paste across the board.
Yeah, a lot of gym rats on that team.
Hey, look, sometimes the world hands you a situation where your team goes undefeated and then has to play the best team in the sport and beat them a second time in the playoff, and then sometimes the world hands you James Madison in a home playoff game at 4:30, and I prefer to live in this world. Let me ask you this. So, we all love yelling about this stuff, and it's funny to get outraged and argue. Is there a way to fix this with the two G6 teams? Is that going to be an over? We saw the reaction last year, the four byes, and they changed that one off season later. Is there a fix in the works coming this off season?
It's pretty much law, or it's a violation of antitrust law, rather, if you don't have inclusion for the G5. Now, we're never getting rid of inclusion, or I say never. In this current structure, we're not getting rid of inclusion for the G5. However, I don't think it's illegal to be saying only one of you are getting in.
Yeah.
So I may be wrong about that, but I would go the step that many have suggested, and that is to require a minimum baseline ranking before you can ever have inclusion in the playoff. I wouldn't mind that applying across the board, by the way, but that would have especially got us free and clear here. Also, though, if you think about it, there's a way to sort of process your way around all this. Let's just say we can't make that kind of rule. Let's just say you can't put any parameters on excluding G5 teams that you wouldn't put on excluding anyone else. All right, well, if you'll just fix your conference tiebreakers, we'll be good. Because if your conference tiebreakers just go by, the playoff rankings and nothing more, Miami is in the ACC title game. They body bag whoever they play, and they're the ACC representative, and we're not even having to have a discussion about how your conference champ isn't in the top 30 or top 35. So, look, you don't technically have to change your wording. The conferences just have to, you know, like wake up on the right side of the bed one morning and take care of their own business.
Yeah. I'm curious what you make if we were to assume, and I think we're all on a trust tree here, Oregon is going to take care of James Madison. If we were to jump ahead a little bit, and I know we'll ask this of you when you're on the show the week of, but you know, an early peekaboo of Oregon, Texas Tech, your kind of general feelings. Texas Tech's been very impressive defensively. Just your thoughts of Oregon, Texas Tech potentially on the horizon.
Wow. Wow, the stones on this guy. Okay, well, let's look past James Madison, and we do know Texas Tech will be there at least. So it all comes down to whether Oregon can maintain offensive balance against that defensive front. That is, personnel-wise, I mean, I know that not a lot of people maybe up there have just been glued to Texas Tech all year, and you have this propensity to think that because a team came out of the Big 12, it's a Big 12 team. This is not your prototypical Big 12 team. It is very, very much from a personnel standpoint what you would expect a high-level Big Ten or high-level SEC team to possess, because that's where they went and got those guys out of the portal to begin with. And they can really, really wreck you. They can make things difficult. And, you know, I think when you go back on Oregon's season this year, you could look at Iowa. Iowa made life difficult on them up front. Penn State gave them trouble. Indiana gave them a lot of trouble. 7 of the 20 points Oregon scored in that game were non-offensive. So it's not like they haven't met those challenges this year. They've had mixed results, but you also have to ask yourself, with Oregon and a number of these teams, they will have been off for 3 weeks. So you're hoping to do what Ohio State did last year and click at the right time. If they do look like that, and I halfway believe they will, they'll be the best version of themselves, and they're getting those guys back healthy, maybe, possibly, then – you know, maybe we see their best version. Maybe we see Oregon play at a level that they hadn't played at all year.
We spent a lot of time last week talking about the idea, do these conference championships game matter anymore, and how do we revamp the weekend? And then Indiana played, and I'm like, yeah, it sure as hell mattered to them. They haven't won an outright Big Ten title since 1945. I'm curious to ask you, what was the biggest eye-opener from this weekend for you? Was it Ohio State getting, you know, they're taking their first L of the year? They haven't really played the most murderous row of a schedule. Texas, right, last time, talent-wise, somebody could really go toe-to-toe with them. The opposite, Indiana winning, Georgia exercising the demons, if you will, of Alabama, Alabama leaking oil. What was the biggest takeaway from the weekend for you?
Yeah, well, the Alabama leaking oil thing was magnified, and they're going to tell you it's because of how many guys they're missing, which maybe that's true. Fortunately or unfortunately, depending on your perspective, we will get to test that theory, because they're going to play in a little under 2 weeks. So I think that stood out. I think it absolutely stood out that Ohio State lost. We talked on the show last night about how Ohio State did not play that different a game than we've seen them play half a dozen times this year. They played a really compressed game, sort of a lethargic game, if you want to call it that. The only difference is they did it against a premier opponent who could limit their scoring opportunities and eliminated their scoring opportunities. And so, I mean, we counted last night. They had a couple of really lengthy drives when they were down that produced a combined 0 points. And I just don't know that any of us would have looked at that game Friday, 24 hours away, and been told Indiana's going to hang 13 and they're going to win. If anyone would have told us that, we would have laughed. And yet that is exactly what happened. So I don't know. The urgency wasn't really on that game. That's kind of depressing to watch the ending of the Big Ten championship game. I mean, Ryan Day kind of walked across the field, smiled a little bit, shook Kurt Cignetti's hand, and, you know, it was like, oh, well. It's like watching an NFL team lose. Oh, well, we'll get them next week. That's kind of what conference championships have become if you've bought yourself some wiggle room.
That's interesting. I kind of felt like that mattered a lot to Indiana, and I think Ohio State would want to win a Big Ten title, but I guess when you get to the end of it and you do lose, it's not as devastating knowing you're still going to be in the top four of the playoff. We didn't get you last week. You're super busy. Mr. Popular over here having to call games on the sideline, be on ESPN in the studio, you know, jet living, jet flying, hosting shows at auditoriums. I'm curious your thoughts on Jamarcus Shepherd. Oregon State made that official. He coached obviously on the Bama staff. He was at the SEC title game.
One of the first videos that surfaced from Beaver fans was our guy Pate dapping him up on the sideline of the Iron Bowl when Alabama fans were shouting him out. He walked over and dapped Pate up.
We know that you have a relationship. Oregon State fans love hearing you. We don't talk a lot of Oregon State with you for obvious reasons, but they got a guy you're familiar with. What can you tell us about Jamarcus Shepherd and the kind of coach you think he's going to be in Corvallis, especially coming off the heels of two G5 teams making the playoff? Maybe there's a window here for Oregon State fan to feel a lot better about their lot in life.
I always love how anytime, and it's about once or twice a year, you mention Oregon State to me, you always pull the keys out of your pocket and just dig it into their ribs, and you say something like, "We don't talk Oregon State a lot for obvious reasons," and then you just continue on with the sentence. We don't even get to harp on it or dwell on it, but I do get your point. Jamarcus Shepherd's awesome. He's a guy that I don't believe a lot of people will be familiar with. Once you hear, he's the kind of guy where, like, you hear his first press conference and you're like, whoa, who is that? Kind of like a little bit more toned down, understandable version of Ed Orgeron. When people first heard Ed Orgeron, they're like, I just feel like a hurricane hit my ears. Jamarcus Shepherd's kind of like that. Very, very infectious, an incredible locker room presence, an incredible culture presence for them at Alabama. You know, I talked to DeBoer about him, and DeBoer was very adamant that when he put his staff together, you've got to put together a complementary staff. You know what you possess as the head coach. You know what characteristics you have. Jamarcus Shepherd was the perfect counter to that, you know, because DeBoer's not going to be the one screaming in a megaphone all the time. Jamarcus Shepherd has absolutely positively no problem with that, but guys will go over a cliff for him. He's got a couple of staffers that he's bringing up there from Alabama that I like a lot. Some of them will be on the field. Some of them won't be on the field. I'll just be interested to kind of watch him take his shot at being a head coach. You know, it's a heavy lift at Oregon State. We all know that. But how much immediate impact is it obvious he has? Kind of like, it's a very radical example, but Kurt Cignetti, the moment he walked into Indiana, it was like someone just lit a bonfire with gasoline. Hmm. So on a scale of zero to Cignetti, where does Jamarcus Shepherd land would be my question.
I hope in his first basketball game press conference, Oregon, you suck. Washington, you pull the Kurt Cignetti card. Josh Pate is our guest. Check out his show every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, live on YouTube, over 500,000 subscribers. He is the future commissioner of college football, and he has our full and total support, and he's kind enough to join the show every week this week on a Monday because things got wonky a little bit last week. Let me ask you this. I got a buddy who was on the Iowa State staff with Matt Campbell, and then he sent me a text this weekend saying, "We are Capital." And I thought,
he's going.
No. Well, it made me throw up my mouth a little bit, knowing that he grew up a Duck fan and this is going to be weird and unique, but he's excited for the opportunity. How much pressure does Josh Pate feel on the performance level of Matt Campbell at Penn State?
This is totally riding on me right now. I mean, my name is on the line.
This is a big
based
deal
on how he performs. I kid you not. We are sitting in the parking lot of Beaver Stadium right now where he's about to do his press conference. And I'm going to kind of go in there, and I plan on just, you know, doing the two fingers at your eyes, and then you take the one index finger and you point at him as if to say, "I'm watching you." And you don't mean it to be mean. You need to understand, hey, I vouched for you. We lobbied for you. Do not embarrass me. Do not embarrass me. Yeah. On all seriousness, not that that wasn't serious, but in all seriousness, you guys know because you had me on the show when they fired Franklin, and I told you Matt Campbell's the guy I'd go after. And for a million reasons, I thought he was the guy they always should have targeted. Whatever they did is whatever they did. Quite frankly, I would love to get to the bottom of the intricacies of this search while we're up here today. But nonetheless, I think they hired the right guy. It sucks that the recruiting class had to implode in on itself like a dying star in the process of them going all the way around the world to find treasure in their own backyard. Stop me when you're done hearing the metaphors, by the way, because I've got a lot of them. So I think that the staff he brings over here, if you're talking about pressure, I don't doubt Matt being able to do it at a high level. He's going to have a lot of guys that he's promoted from within that they're going to take from Ames over here to State College, and they're taking them into the Big Ten. I'm kind of excited to watch how those guys perform on this stage because I know, I mean, Matt Campbell's established in my mind. He is. Some of these guys are, from a staffing perspective, they're really going to get a chance to show what they're made of on this kind of stage.
Like Notre Dame controversy was really loud. I said earlier, like, it's not that teams don't want to play bowl games. I think Kansas State was one of the first teams to opt out of playing in a bowl before the Notre Dame announcement. I was more just surprised that it was Marcus Freeman as a coach. The way he is as a leader, I think he's really good. I was surprised he rolled with it. I really thought he'd be somebody that would say, yeah, you know what, it's a tough lot in life. Let's go prove to everybody and beat BYU. But I also understand the landscape of bowl games. How close are we to this thing just maybe blowing up, or what's your read on bowl games? Sans that, we kind of viewed Notre Dame saying no to the Pop-Tart, similar to Florida State fan not eating the dog crap. And so I'm just curious how surprised you were Notre Dame didn't want to play BYU.
I love that you went down that road there.
Yeah.
I mean, what would you say? About 5% of the listening audience, max, got the reference.
Doesn't matter.
You don't care.
You got it.
We're going to drop it anyway.
Yep. It's for you.
I think I was very surprised, man. I saw a lot of these other schools opt out, but like Iowa State, for example, lost their coach, and they got all kinds of disarray there, and they've got a new staff coming in. And I guess I at least understood them opting out. This is just flat out a team not getting its way in what was a very subjective debate at the end, no matter which side you land on, very subjective. And they didn't get their way, and they just said, we're taking our ball and going home. We're not going to play in the bowl game. I mean, look, to each his own, okay? But I question, what foundation have you built your program on if it's that easy to say that? And that's me saying that, not even knowing what went into the decision. For all I know, Marcus Freeman was told, you're not going to play in a bowl game. I don't know what happened. But I just wonder if you demand overcoming adversity, resilience, competitive character, all that, and then your first instinct when you don't get your way is to say, I quit. I kind of question that.
Yeah, I'm with you there completely. We appreciate the time, man. Our guy is blowing up in the biggest way possible, all over the place. It was so fun watching the Alcast, that SEC title game. Wasn't the most entertaining game from a score perspective, but super entertaining to watch you guys on the sideline. The show last night was, or I should say yesterday afternoon, was great. Go subscribe to the show, Josh Pate's College Football Show. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Josh Pate CFB. Tell Matt Campbell to be thankful Oregon is not on the schedule next year after the leaked Pat Kraft audio, because you know that was going to be bulletin board material for our guy Dan Lanning. Enjoy the time in Penn State, and hopefully we can catch up again soon, buddy. Always good to chat with you.
I appreciate it, guys.
There you go. Josh Pate, the commissioner of college football. Talking all things college football.
I was wondering what he was going to say to the Notre Dame thing, and it's, you know, I get it. There's all kind of range of emotions. We don't know if the AD directed it, or we don't know the players universally, like, we will refuse to play in this, and Freeman has no choice at that point, right? It's a player's era, but I'll go back. I think I'm a little surprised he agreed with me, but it's the same feeling. I just would have thought a Marcus Freeman program would have been like, cool, we didn't make it. We're going to show you guys how stupid you are. Here's a chance to go blow out or beat up on a BYU team. And maybe they don't. Maybe they lose. But I guess I'm just surprised that he is the coach of that program. And again, if we get new information, we'll like correct that record. But
sure.
I was a little surprised by it, but I also know that bowl games are in a weird way dying.
Yeah, I think there's a team that is the perfect example of this, and it might be the team that ends up winning the national title. They were my preseason pick to do it. Georgia had won back-to-back national championships. They had won 29 consecutive games. They went undefeated in the regular season, lost a heartbreaking game to Alabama in the SEC title to end their 29-game winning streak. That bolted or booted them from the 4-team playoff. That was that debate about Florida State or Alabama, where Georgia was there like, wait a minute, we went undefeated and then had to play in a conference title game and lost to Alabama. Our resume was great. They had an argument to be in that year as well. And all they did was go play Florida State in the Orange Bowl and beat them by 60 points. And so there's a testament to culture there that how you do everything is how you do everything, or how you do whatever the saying is.
Right.
That like, and now Georgia's here back and they haven't gone anywhere. And it's just a testament to what they're about and what they do.
This just came across the wire about 30 minutes ago. And I coincidentally just saw this. This is from, what's the Notre Dame AD's last name?
Bavakwa.
He said, quote, on the ACC, we were mystified by the actions of the conference to attack their biggest business partner in football and member conference in 24 sports. They have done permanent damage to the relationship between the conference and Notre Dame.
Go join a conference, man. Go join the Big Ten. Go be a part of the Big Ten, then.
I think that's where this is all shifting to, is where they're probably going to make the playoff next year because their schedule's cake, but and they got that guarantee. I do think there's a contingent that already existed and I think is building, where it's like, and I heard, I think it was Boomer Esiason. I might have been the one to say this.
Boomer?
Like, what is to stop these conferences from just saying, we're not playing you?
Yeah.
And then what's your resume?
Right.
Like, I understand.
If they would have gotten in over Miami, that would have been the response for a lot of people.
Well, sure. And
like, what's
think
the point
of
playing you if we beat you and then you still get into the playoff?
Yeah, 100%. And they're never going to go to a conference unless something happens where these other conferences literally band together and say, nope, you're canceled. We're not on your schedule anymore.
Right.
And until that happens, I just will ever refuse to believe they're joining a conference. But, you know, I think there's a big contingent that existed and is building by the day that it's just like, stop acting like you should play by every, like literally every set of your own rules here. And you're taking your ball and you're going home and you're just yelling at everybody because you lost.
This is the problem of the committee, too, to set this up, to have them ahead of Miami all those weeks. It should have just been ranked the way it should have been ranked. And then maybe it's not quite as controversial.
Sure.
And any Notre Dame fan who's making the argument we should have been in, you just, as long as you acknowledge I'm biased and I'm a Notre Dame fan, then it's fine. I would pull for my team to make it in that situation, too. But head to head is what ultimately matters when the resumes are the same. Some more college football notes to get to. I do want to dive back into the NFL. And then also the Blazers played a couple of games over the weekend. So that's still in the notes. Also, the Cougs are looking for a new head coach. Jesus, I came out of left field this weekend.
Oh, welcome to the cellar, Cougars. Get ready for Beaver dominance.
Welcome to the life of Willie Taggart. One and done, baby. Where do they go from here? All that still to come next on The Fam.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Just reminiscing about the bad beat that Swag took yesterday in the Broncos Raiders game. Just an all-timer, man. Pete Carroll needs to be investigated. Why do you kick a field goal with time expiring
so
down
you can
by
cover
10?
A number? So you need cover to make 7 spread record.
And at some point we'll have to debate, did Kevin Stefanski purposefully call a bad two-point play to ruin the career of Shedeur Sanders? I would like to debate that at the top of the hour.
I know you are annoyed because ESPN, it's like one of their top 10 stories.
That's all they're talking about today.
I'm going to give you a take. I actually think he purposely did not want him to score. I do. I buy it. I think that organization's a disaster.
Yeah, they're tanking. Are we in an
open
tank right now?
I think they hate each other internally. Yeah. No, I don't think it's a tanking thing.
Oh, I think he wants to get fired.
Yeah.
You think Stefanski
just wants
to
resign.
Be done?
He wants to get paid.
He's going Costanza, but there's all World Series trophy in the parking
Deshaun
lot.
Deshaun Watson supposedly is going to come back for next year and be there.
Because they can't get rid of him. They have to bring him back next year.
Well, first of all,
I would want to get fired at that point.
If you're a Cleveland radio host, what are you saying today?
I mean, you're probably just leaning on Shedeur Sanders having a good game and saying that's the only thing you got going for you.
I hate this team. I hate that team.
I would have given up 10 years ago.
Well, I know.
Why would I be invested in any way, shape,
or form? That is defensive MVP worthy.
He's gonna break the sack record.
He's going to break the sack record.
Barring a
he's a one-man wrecking crew.
Yes.
The dead money on, what's the next year?
They have to go another year with
the dead cap next year on Deshaun Watson's contract, if they don't want him back in Cleveland, would be $131 million.
If I was Stefanski, I'd want to get fired.
What's it in
2 years? I don't know what's left on my contract.
It only drops to 50. Then they can get out of it. They can void the last year of the deal after next year. I think they can void the contract finally.
He's going to tear his ACL and work out at some point again anyway.
He has one more year under contract and then they can move on. He's still only 30 years old, by the way. But yeah, the dead money this year was $167 million.
I mean, I'm not kidding. I think this is very fair to say. Pete Carroll had to have been told the point spread. Because they are, I think by the numbers, they were the worst team against the spread in the NFL by not just like covering a number, but like the margin in which they don't cover a number.
Yeah.
Because I don't know any other explanation for why the Raiders kicked that field goal to only lose by 7.
And now this was not a spread determining factor, but remember when Florida kicked the field goal, time expired against Oregon State?
That was to keep their bowl streak alive. They're scoring in a bowl game.
Yeah, they had scored. They hadn't been shut out in 30 years or whatever it was.
That was the only reason they kicked that field goal.
You're down 38-0 kicking a field goal, you cowards. How could you possibly do that? There's no argument to kick the field goal there. You're down by, I mean, the game's over.
Other than to cover the number.
Because
it was 7.5.
Investigate. What's that Patel guy doing? He's sewing patches onto his jacket. Get him down to Vegas. Let's get an investigation of this bad boy. What did Pete Carroll know, and who did he talk to before kicking that field goal?
I think he's using taxpayer security to fly walk his girlfriend home.
She'll want to go hang out in Vegas. Get to Vegas. Investigate this. That was bad. That was brutal. Look, I can only laugh about it now because of the pain that blocked Philly-LA field goal caused me, thinking to myself, man, I won this bet.
No, this was worse.
And then it didn't happen.
There's something about a bad beat when it doesn't happen to you, though, that you're...
Oh, you think it's hilarious when it's not you.
I'm not laughing at swag. It's just the circumstance.
Because we've all been there. Like, not whether to differing degrees, we've all been there and just had a brutal backdoor beat, and you're like, oh my, did that just happen? Did that? And you're just sitting there in shock. Because I'm watching the end of that game. I didn't even have the frame of reference of the point spread. I just remember when they called the penalty on Denver for laying on the guy or whatever he was doing, thinking to myself, oh... They don't usually call that. And then you look at the clock and there's 4 seconds left and the clock is running. They can't stop it. And you're like, the game would have been over. I wonder what they're going to do. Oh, they're going to, oh, and it slowly dawns on you. They're going to kick a field goal.
Like, had they like lined up and tried to throw a Hail Mary into the end zone? It's like.
And you give up the Hail Mary? Like, yeah.
Okay, fine. A damn field goal,
it's
a 47 yard field goal.
Did you actually gamble it?
No.
Okay. Well, at least you got that going for you.
If you would actually put some money on, that'd make it even better.
No, something would have got broken in the house.
Something would have gotten snapped.
I would have done that even if I did bet on it and I sprayed the line on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I get that way when I lose a game easily. If I get blown out on a spraying line pick, I'm in a bad mood for 25 to 30 minutes.
Oh, it takes a while to get over
because,
it.
One, I want my record to be good, but two,
no,
the listeners.
Like, you know, 2-1 listeners. Weekend, we're getting back on the horse.
You're 10 games below 500.
No,
you stopped.
He's riding back to 500. What are you talking about, dude?
That broke me.
He's done. He's done. All right, let's get to, we have not had put a bow on the weekend, if you will, and one thing that needs to be included in that bow is the world was introduced to somebody this weekend. That somebody, by the way, might be making a very big speech less than a week from now.
Oh.
Because I think all the odds are telling us he's probably the favorite at this point to win a certain award.
What?
Are we ready for a ceremony with this guy? That's next. Body to the pop song. Well, let's put a bow on the weekend that was. I don't know about you guys. I don't want to speak for you when I say this. But there was one highlight that stood above the rest for me. Great weekend of football. NFL was good yesterday.
Young Hanson started.
Young Hanson got his first NBA, right? First NBA start, I'm assuming. He hadn't started another game. First NBA start. And then they were down by 20 at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, it was 40-20. Thanks for coming.
See you later. A lot of highlights, a lot of great moments, a lot of good games, a lot of interesting things happened. Nothing, and I mean nothing, more entertaining than this.
We were never supposed to be in this position, but by the glory of God, the great coaches, great teammates, everyone we have around us, we were able to pull this off. Whoever thought the Hoosiers would be here, but now the Hoosiers are flipping champs. Let's go!
You guys call yourself a bunch of misfits who found the right home at Indiana. Why was this the right place for this group?
is the right place for process-oriented. We're going day by day, whether it's the offensive line, the defense, the coaches, special teams, we're all process-oriented to one goal. That's our thing, is we're brothers. We can drag teams into the deep end because we know that we're going to stick together and we're the strongest glue ever.
Tell me about finding Charlie Becker, third down, 2 minutes to go. We talk about Heisman moments, but take me through that one.
And what an incredible, Charlie's been, but he's been every single day in summer. We were always thrilled before practice, before at 7 a.m. on Sundays, doing spots, doing routes, and now you see it to come to fruition. He's my roommate. Couldn't be happy for such a young man as well as our defense playing lights out. And well, everybody just, what an incredible moment.
That, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, if you missed this live, I should also add, he was staring into the camera the entire time.
He
just
look at the interview.
Staring into your soul. That was Fernando Mendoza as Indiana won the Big Ten title. Are we ready for that for 10 minutes? Because he's probably going to win the Heisman Trophy.
Oh, I think he locked it up. His game wasn't even that amazing, but I told you this on Friday, the winner of that game and the quarterback that whose numbers are okay enough, that's going to be the Heisman winner. He won the Heisman.
When he took that first shot, too, that opening play of the game, he got drilled, and I'm like, thank God we're not playing in this game. Because I thought he was, and then he came back in a couple plays later.
So my first introduction to him was earlier this season. He did one of those interviews, and I was like, oh, my God.
I don't remember his interview after the Oregon game. I remember the Cignetti stuff. He was like, we expected to win. I don't remember a lot of Mendoza interviews after that game.
Well, it's that. Yeah. I mean, it's hyper-emotional, super happy, can't quite process how to talk entirely, you know, right, but let me give glory to God type thing.
Putting a flipping in there.
I'll tell you this. He is the girlfriend in Seinfeld who's hot unless she's in the wrong light, and then she's ugly. And as an NFL fan, that's how I'd view him as a franchise quarterback.
Does that hurt his stock or help his stock?
I don't want him.
You don't want him anymore because of that?
Look, he
You're
might
out.
Be hot.
Too he's goobery?
Got, he's got the measurements, but he's 6'5 Kirk Cousins, but more goobery. I'm out. And on this, write it down. I'm out.
I had the same takeaway, too. I feel ashamed to say it because it shouldn't matter. But I had the same thought of, like, man, you imagine that getting played on loop if he throws, like, three picks early in his NFL career. Yeah, because he drafted this goober.
He's kind of the guy that people are mean to a little bit, and you feel bad, and then you talk to him, and you're like, yeah, I'm like, I don't understand why people are mean.
This reminds me of Howard Dean from 2004. We're going to Michigan. Give him one of those. Like, dude, you're not cutting a WWE promo. I also, and this just needs to be like carpet training for everybody, like just all players need this. Saban used to be one of the worst at this. He would at times during his halftime and postgame interviews get in these trends where he's looking directly into the camera.
Yeah, he doesn't talk to the interviewer.
Dude, it's really uncomfortable.
It's very weird.
If you're ever getting interviewed, young athletes, if you ever become Fernando Mendoza and you win a Big Ten title game, please, for the love of God, do not stare into the camera. You stare at the person asking you the questions and act like the camera's not there. Look away, man. Don't stare into my soul. I feel like he knows everything about me now.
The only time I'm okay with you looking in the camera is at the very end when you're doing the go Beavs
roll
look, tide or go Ducks.
Shout out to your fam doing a Dubs down or something along those lines.
I did it right. He looked at the interviewer the whole time, and then at the end, what did he do? He kind of backpedaled away, dubbed down. Like, that's perfect. That's great execution by him. I got to tell you, man, and hold it. I'm out. What's he like at my NFL press conference after I've taken him number one?
Like that? He's going to be like that?
All glory to the Browns. The Browns are a great organization. Glory to God. Give me to Cleveland. Cleveland, Ohio. Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay. That's an all-timer, dude. I
text you guys in real time. I'm like, I knew it was coming because I had seen multiple interviews post-game with him. I knew this was coming, and then it was on steroids because he won.
I don't ever remember him. I just have not that, I guess.
Did you not watch the Penn State post-game?
No, I missed it. I think I flipped over because I think Oregon was playing a game at 12:30, and so the game ended, and I'm like, all right, that's enough of that. I'm flipping right over to the Oregon game. So I
dual-screened.
Yeah.
I dual-screened, and I kept it because I saw him come on, and I go, oh, I know
I was not prepared for that. I knew he was a bit of a goober, but.
Because I watched it. I had taped it. There was a Pilots game Saturday, so I. But I stuck with it after. I was like, what are these guys talking about?
Oh, my God. Like, it was great. It was a good payoff. I was entertained. And you know what? I'll say this. Happy for him to go from Cal and have us all go, is he really going to be as good as the last guy?
Yeah, he was good at Cal.
He was good at Cal. But, like,
this is another level. Significant. I think that's one of the most untalked about things, other than their defense being better. And I do want to take a brief moment here just to appreciate what has been done.
Dude, they were phenomenal this year.
I don't know about you guys. We obviously know that they're a very good team. Indiana might win a national championship. I don't know how many years it's going to take to process what has transpired.
I'm done. I'm there.
No.
I just like, how did he do this?
2 years.
How?
He's a great coach. Hey, look, say this. I don't know if they win the title. I don't know who wins the title. Whether he does or not, it's no different to me than Dan Lanning. He's just older.
Yeah.
He's not somebody that was a clear identifier unless you followed FCS football or you followed a James Madison. And then even then, like those guys that win at that level, getting bumped up to another level, that's not a guarantee. You just don't see the great coaches coming like that. And so don't pull that. But Dan Lanning, Kurt Cignetti, like you just can't identify it. You just have to watch it play out.
Time to nut up or shut up.
Yeah, and that's what he did. He nutted up. And now you're watching
it.
What's he doing? He's coming.
Where's he coming from?
He's coming for that number one spot.
He's coming for that national
title.
Time
to nut up or shut up.
So is Gus.
That's a Gus chasm. It's a real Gus chasm right there.
That was the last time we saw Mendoza be a goober. That was from that game.
You guys have worked... And you guys, I mean, your program down in Eugene. I mean, look, you've had some stellar years where you get to the national championship. But it's just crazy that it's like
it doesn't
20 years of doing this to be this. And they just in 2 years at that program. And you,
they played who?
Okay, whatever. You didn't have Indiana being that.
No. I this will go down. I'm not even kidding you. Like, this is one of the best. I'm not even going to say one of. This is the best coaching job we've ever seen in the history of college football.
Sensational. I don't want to argue with you on it.
And I can tell you, like, you can give me Oregon and Lanning. That's fine. Oregon has a talent composite as one of the best in the sport.
I know.
That's the lifeblood of their program. Indiana still doesn't have that. They're 13-0, and go look at the talent composite. It doesn't exist. They're in a different galaxy than Oregon and Ohio State, and they're still winning these games.
I can't argue with you.
I get that he's a brilliant coach. I still don't understand how this is possible. I don't get it.
He identifies talent.
I don't. Is this every year? Is he going to do this?
I don't know if it's undefeated, winning the conference every year, but are they a team?
We all said last year when they lost and they replaced a lot of guys from that team. And we were like, all right, that was a fun, cute story, but we all had the same thought about India. I remember talking about Oregon's schedule when it was released in the offseason.
Just call them India.
And it was like, Indiana's coming out. Nah, who cares? They won't. Like, that was the takeaway in the middle of the summer. That's how we felt. And not only did he take from last year and say, playoff team, now they're better and they might win a national title. And it's brilliant coaching. I get it. It's evaluating talent. I don't know how many years he's going to get away with it. I don't think we'll ever see something like this in college football again. And I think it is the worst nightmare. I've said this for a while now. It's almost like Brady and what he's done to NFL quarterbacks, and now we all have to judge him to that level. Well, he can never be that. He can never be that. Or Mahomes for the modern guy. This is the worst thing to possibly happen for any new head coach. Because any new head coach, especially ones who were hired in the same cycle, their ADs are going to say, well, Kurt Cignetti can do it in Indiana. Why can't you do
it
here?
What did Pate give us? The scale from a zero to a Cignetti?
Yes.
Like that, it is going to be that for a lot of programs.
Fine, you won 7 games. You want me to tip my cap to you? This guy just went 13-0 and won the Big Ten.
Top 5 teams in the playoff that will be emotionally devastated seeing Indiana win a national championship in their second year with Kurt Cignetti.
Mine's in there for sure. Oregon's in there. Ohio State I can't use because they just won one last year.
No. See, I think it has to be a team that hasn't won a title in the last 15 to 20 years.
Yeah, Georgia's out, Ohio State's
out. Let's put A&M in this.
A&M has to be in
Texas
it.
Texas A&M is in that list.
Miami has to be in it.
Miami is in that list. Oregon's
in that list. Oklahoma's got to be on that list. Because Oklahoma got to the playoff how many times under Lincoln Riley, and every time they got their teeth kicked in.
I'm going to say it because they're insane. They lost Saban. And I know they've won a million
times. Yeah, Bama needs the...
I think Bama's probably in that for me.
Without a doubt. Because Saban ain't walking through that door anytime soon. And so this is your new world that you're living in.
There's also the world where they play Bama in the second round and they beat Bama to go on to potentially win an
national championship. I don't really know where Ole Miss is at right now because of their whole head coaching search. So I don't know if I'd put, you know, devastated. I don't know if that's the right word for them because their head coach just bolted.
I think they're devastated about that.
They're devastated for sure, but, they're just a unique example for me. But yeah, essentially the majority of the playoff, outside of Georgia, who just won two, and Ohio State, who just won last year, everybody's devastated and saying how in the world did this happen? We'll have some fun maybe at some point this week.
Are you there on them?
Yes.
No, but like you said, are we to keep expecting? I'm there. And if he's not in the playoff because he's the two-loss team that somehow, for whatever reason, I'm not going to go, well, I don't know about Cincinnati. If they're 10-2.
No, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think I might be doing it with them where I'm like, I'm just going to assume you're there.
Well, I think the other part, too, of them doing this in year one and then backing it up in year two is that how attractive are they as a destination now in the portal? Like, I don't know if Indiana will ever get to the point where I shouldn't say that. Indiana will never get to the point where they're recruiting on the same level as Ohio State and Oregon from high school kids.
Yeah.
But from a portal destination standpoint,
he's going to have a Heisman Trophy now.
He's going to have a Heisman Trophy winner.
He has a Big Ten title.
Yeah.
Like, he might not be. What were they in recruiting this year?
Let me pull it up.
Yeah, I was going to look it up. But, like, whatever.
It wasn't great, I know that.
Okay, so they're never going to be maybe the most stellar high school recruiting team.
Yeah.
But doesn't his entire thing feel like it's very portal heavy anyway?
Without a doubt it does. It's a lot of guys with chips on their shoulder who have something to prove, and, you know. Now, Indiana was 32nd.
I mean, that's not awful.
It's not awful,
you can
but
take a little bit of a leap and get to the top 20.
The team sandwiched around them, Minnesota was 29th, Syracuse was 30th,
yeah, be
Stanford was 33rd.
They need to be better than
Arizona was 35th. Like, that's the category they're in.
Okay. And Arizona's a fine program.
And one of those teams went undefeated and won the Big Ten. And it doesn't matter. So, I don't know if they're going to be a contender to this level year in and year out. But this year's team, they can absolutely win a national championship. They don't need to show me anymore. It's one of the most remarkable things we've ever seen in the history of college football. And it pains me to say that because they beat my team on the way there. And they might beat my team again on the way there, for all I know.
I want to watch his Heisman speech bad.
That dude, man. One of the goofiest post-game interviews I have ever seen. Let's put a bow on the final college football thoughts. We'll get to Blazers and NFL coming up. Top of the hour, but some coaching news out of the weekend. We'll get to that next on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you, you know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
All right, welcome back in. 8:51. We'll dive back into the NFL in the final hour of the show. Blazers went 0-2 this weekend. Oh. Young Hunson got his first start.
They did that thing where they played good against a good team.
They did. Almost beat Detroit. Yeah. Right there. And then no. And then
they're off till Thursday.
That's really weird.
It's an odd road trip.
So they're hanging out in New Orleans until Thursday?
I
that seems like, well, I bet you they're still in.
I don't know. I
wondered. You go to New Orleans, wouldn't you?
I'd get out
over
of Memphis.
I'd want to go to New Orleans.
You're right. I would go to New Orleans early.
That's not
because it was an after. It was a 5 o'clock local game. So,
I might
bet
a lot of money on New Orleans on Thursday. If you're telling me they get to spend 4 days in
New Orleans.
Well, I think they got a chance to have fun and then recover and then be ready.
Is Memphis good? Because they were up by 20 at the end of the first quarter.
They might be better without Ja.
Is Zach Edey good? Is that a bad take from Dirt?
Zach Edey's not bad.
Hold it. We'll get to it.
Zach Edey's really not bad.
I argue this often, not argue, but I bring up this point often. The most painful.
Memphis is better than us, by the way.
Okay. Just checking it.
11 and 13, and we're 9 and 15.
The toughest part about this time of year for coaching carousel news is that you just never know when the wrecking ball is going to find its way to your program. Because there's a million examples just over the years where you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, well, we're safe. Nobody's coming after our coach.
Yeah.
This was Husky fan 2 years ago. Nick Saban retires, and they all pointed at Oregon and laughed because they all thought Dan Lanning was taking that job. I'll never forget the texts that were sent into the show and the tweets that I received about my head coach about to bolt again from Stepping Stone U from Washington fan, and then what happened, right? And then in the midst of that, Arizona's like, wait, now we need a new head coach. How the hell did this happen to us? And that happened over the weekend. I didn't even see this live. I think it was on Friday night, and I was not on social media Friday night getting ready for the weekend. And I learned it via our resident Coug, Patrick Harris. He sent me a text telling me he hated my team.
Yep.
Because if we didn't beat Penn State the way we beat Penn State, maybe James Franklin doesn't get fired. And then his head coach is still there because Matt Campbell, taking the Penn State job, led Jimmy Rogers after 1 year in Washington State to say, boosh, I'm out of here. I'm flying out to Ames, and I'm going to be the new head coach at Iowa State. And now, once again, back-to-back years, the Cougs need a new head coach.
So it'll be a third coach in 3 years?
Third coach in 3 years.
Really tough circumstance for them. Also, I'm going to tell you something that's not going to make sense to you. I am officially in the I hate them and I needed this.
The rivalry starting? Is this a thing now? You hate the Cougs?
He texts me. So I was at a high school basketball game.
Yeah.
And he texts me this news and I went, what?
Jimmy Rogers?
Jimmy Rogers is leaving for Iowa State?
Jimmy Rogers.
And then I was like, yeah, it makes sense. He's from the Dakotas. So like he's familiar with the footprint. He's doing his press conference coincidentally right now. So he's like, I didn't anticipate leaving after 1 year. Coug Nation, you're great. But I'm going to a playoff.
I mean, they all say the same thing.
I know.
Right?
Devastating for them. Let's just get that in the front of it. I don't know who you hire anymore.
That's a Willie Taggart. He's there for a year. At least Dickard was there for a couple of years.
I saw Luke Falk, our good friend, was basically like, hire me. I will take this job. I'm ready for the job.
I saw a report that Rick Neuheisel wants the job.
But he wants it to basically let Jerry, his son, be the OC for a year so he can just give him the rundown of how to be a coach properly, and then he'll get back into retirement and Jerry Neuheisel will take over.
They need to do the funniest thing possible, though. They need to hire Jonathan Smith. It needs to happen.
Which would make
I need Jonathan Smith to be the next head coach of Washington
State. He'll take that job.
Like I need oxygen.
If he's offered that job,
it's a guy who's shown he can win at a lower level.
He'll take the job.
He's like, he knows the X's, he knows how to do it.
I threw Rick Neuheisel out at Patrick, and he instantly got mad because Neuheisel's a Husky to him, of course.
He is a Husky to
him. God forbid 30 years ago we move on from anything. I needed this in a weird way. I have never felt any negative emotions about Washington State.
Let the hate flow through you.
But something about Patrick, whose soccer team right now, you have no clue, is floundering as the defending Premier League title. Ooh. Their best players throwing his own team under the bus.
Uh-oh.
They had a good year with Jimmy Rogers.
They did. They were 6-6. They're going to a bowl game.
And they've had some nice seasons under their belt the last few years. We have been terrible. But now we've hired the fun coach. And now, welcome to the basement, you cougar bitch. And I can't wait for them to beg Jonathan Smith to be hired so we can just run laps around Washington State.
Yeah, go, people!
We're not going into that conference at the bottom.
No.
You are, and I love it. And I can't wait for us with Jamarcus Shepherd to win the conference, go to the playoff, and you have your fifth coach in 5 years because nobody wants to stay with your program. Yeah. Everybody wants to go there and then leave so then go to the next best thing. Welcome. Welcome to the basement of the Pac-12.
At least it's turning into a rivalry.
I don't know how I got there, but I did. I felt great because I saw his text to you. He sent me a screenshot and I went, why would Dirt take a stray here? And it makes sense, but also you're just rash. You're irrationally lashing out.
Yeah, don't be mad at me. You're mad at your dad. You're not
mad at
me.
Your dad.
And I didn't do anything to you.
I hate to tell you this, but your mom's third husband's walked out on you now.
Yes,
you don't
has.
Have a dad. Nobody wants to be your dad.
You're back to a single parent household.
We'll be your daddy.
I mean, you've got 2 out of 3 so far. It's not bad. Oh, brutal news for the Cougars. You never know where that wrecking ball is going to swing. And all the places I could have thought it was going to swing, I would not have told you Pullman, Washington on Friday. And then Jimmy Rogers was like, I'm Willie Taggart. Peace. Why wouldn't I be the coach here? I'm going to go coach at Iowa State now. Where do you go? We'll find out. Cougs looking for a new head coach. Third year in a row, they'll have a different head coach in Pullman, Washington. Lots to get to in the final hour. The Blazers go 0-2 over the weekend. Some more NFL nuggies that we haven't talked about yet, and a nice little Monday night football game. Eagles leaking oil. Chargers got a quarterback who's banged up. How does it play out? Fun one on Monday night football. It's a loaded final hour to go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM The Fam.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.